Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You should always be wary of befriending priests and nuns.
Okay.
Many years ago, we spent 3 years in the Middle East in Abu Dhabi. And Stella, first day we were there, went bounding up to the priest, said, "We're new here, what do you want us to do?" What would happen if somebody said that to you, Father?
Say
it
again.
"We're new here, what do you want us to do?" That would be it, wouldn't it?
Turn on the tea.
Sister Marianne was very kind. She said, "Would you like to come along to this thing and just say a couple of words?" Okay, if you want. You know, here you go. 1 hour to fill, and here's all your references. Oh, I don't do this, by the way. So this is, I've never stood up in front of people, taken a Bible passage, read it, and then talked about it. Never done it before. So let's see how we go, shall we? Should be good. So, well, obviously first, I've got Bible reading. Book 10, 25 to 37. I'm not going to read it to you. Okay? This is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Most of you could quote it at me, couldn't you? You know all about it. Okay? So what are we going to do? We're going to chapters on the road to Jericho, if you remember. So my signpost for this talk, okay, is we're going to have a quick look at the parable and its meanings. Similarities with today. I'm going to spend a little bit longer, though, on the differences. How is it different from today compared to what Jesus was talking about when he gave that parable to the people listening? And finish up with what now? Be afraid. Obviously, you've got a Pharisee, he's asking Jesus a question. He's no more subtle than Jeremy Paxman or any of those interviewers. It wasn't big and clever. It was a bear trap. It was an attempt to, let's reel him in. Let's see him if he can give me something quotable that I can then use against him. Now, obviously, you watch Newsnight and those sorts of programs. The interviewers do the same thing, don't they? They try and lay out a little trap and say, "You know what this person said? You know what this preacher said? I asked him who was my neighbour. You know what he said?" And of course, Jesus has to confound the story by presenting the story of the Good Samaritan and making everybody think and say, "Ah, so you've got your characters in this piece, haven't you? You've got your Pharisee, you've got your Levite, and just to make it even more interesting, in these sort of racially charged times, your Samaritan's slightly darker skin, just to make it." Okay? There is a problem with this, though, for us, isn't there? We miss some of the meaning in today's telling of this story because you may as well have pantomime villains. Didn't you? Pharisee, boom! Levite, boom! Good-looking, clean-shaven, handsome hero, yes! The story has actually lost its power for us, hasn't it? Because we're so familiar with this particular story. You know, the idea of Good Samaritan has actually gone into our sort of language. You said to a non-Christian, "Oh, Good Samaritan, you know exactly what you're talking about." My view, actually, to be fair, okay, is that most people are essentially good. Most people want to help. A lot of people would stop and help a stranger. Although in a minute we'll see the occasions when they don't. Because actually there are quite a lot of occasions where they don't, and I'll tell you why they don't. What's the church say? I got given some references. Let me tell you a little secret. I don't have a catechism at home. Yeah, indeed. You've got a thin one. Luckily, I've got Google. So, believe it or not, actually, this is enough. If you put CCC1293, top of the page on Google, at least that's what comes up. It's not like, you know, the chemical symbol for something or how to buy a part for a washing machine. No, actually, top page, top of the page. That's a positive. Okay? I thought so. Some really wordy stuff, don't you think? Sometimes when you're given a list like this, actually, what you should do is the inversion principle. Try saying, put in the word not in it. Okay? Don't give a drink to the thirsty. It doesn't actually help you, does it? Of course you'd give a drink to somebody who was thirsty. Of course you'd visit somebody who was sick. Actually, human nature, isn't it? It's all good stuff, as are the spiritual. These are a little harder, though, actually. I know I'd have difficulty with one or two of these, I think. You know, just forgive offences willingly. Yes, after I've hung them, flogged them, and beaten them within an inch of their life. Then I'll forgive them. Bit harder, isn't it? But nevertheless, it's great guidance. What do we do with it? How do we actually use it? What is it? How do we turn it into a reality? Even Martin Luther King had something to say about the Good Samaritan. Of course he did. But again, most people sort of know, actually, if I can stop and I can help somebody, I will. Here's a story. By trade, I'm a chartered accountant. So during the day, I go to an office, I spend far too many hours sat in front of a computer doing financial stuff. Okay? And, you know, accountants get a bad reputation, to be honest with you. You know, it's always cost cutters, bean counters, all of that sort of stuff. You know, when it says, is the glass half full? Is the glass half empty? The accountant turns around and says, no, the glass is twice the size it needs to be. I can't help it. It's draining. I've been doing it for so many years. You must have heard the tale of the accountant in charge of battleship procurement. He was spending all of this money, okay, on battleships. And he was a little bit concerned, okay, because every time they went out and fired some shots at some of the enemy, not all of them came back. Okay? He thought, this is not good. I keep losing battleships. Okay? And then he worked out that the safest place for a battleship is in the harbour. When he left all the battleships in the harbour, they were perfectly fine. It didn't cost him any money. He actually wasn't spending money on fuel, provisions, or anything else. There are those that think that should apply to Christians. The safest place for Christians is in church. By far the safest place, isn't it? Trouble is, though, it's not what battleships were built for. Battleships were sent to go to sea. That's what they're meant to do. Okay? Christians were sent to go out. We weren't sent to be in church. We were sent to be out. 1 Corinthians 9:22. Anybody? To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. Okay, that's the theme of the rest of my talk. Okay? I've become all things to all men, so that by all possible means. That's actually a big challenge. Okay? It doesn't say, I will do the things I am comfortable with, so that I might save a few. It says, I will do all things. I will get completely and utterly outside of my comfort zone. I will go and do things that I am not comfortable doing. This goldfish here is learning a very valuable lesson. As well as getting out of his comfort zone, going somewhere new, gets a fishbowl to himself, that's great. The other thing he's learning is that when you've got a really big chasm to get across, you don't do it in two leaps. You do it in one. If you've got a big step to do, you've got to throw yourself into something, you launch. You throw yourself into it completely, absolutely. Now, for us, there are things that we're comfortable with, okay? And that's no bad thing. Actually, you need some comfort time. You know, you need these changes, these rests. You know, taking time out in church, in quiet prayer, in uplifting hymns, in all that sort of stuff, really important. As long as that's not the whole thing. So the work that I'm going to talk about is things that I've done, Stella's done, Marianne's done, where we're going and doing something outside of our comfort zone. Something new and different that stretches us, challenges us. Now, you've got two people to help. Yeah? Okay, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Father Christmas let himself go. Okay, but of these two people here, who do you help? Who do you help, Joe?
I would help the woman.
You help the woman? Yeah? Help the woman. She's a good professional woman. She's got some fairly expensive clothes, shoes and everything else. Hasn't she? Yeah? She's quite vulnerable. In fact, actually, she's very vulnerable. Okay? She's very vulnerable. She's probably had an office party, she's had too much to drink, and there she goes. That's who you help. And lo and behold, one of the things that we always do when we're out doing what we're doing, go and help your woman. Because they are extremely vulnerable. Only one small problem knocking around here. 77 times 7. Yeah? Welcome. No, welcome. Yeah? Father Christmas here. He's just as vulnerable. Actually. He's got a hard case on him because his life is hard. Yeah? Things happen to him that are difficult, you know. And actually, he's made his own choice, hasn't he? And as for your woman, well, she doesn't need any help at all, whatsoever, does she? Do you know what this is, by the way? Any thoughts?
Same woman. Drinking too much.
Nope. This is the effect of crystal meth on the body. Now, most of you guys wouldn't know what crystal meth was if it wasn't for Breaking Bad. You know, because now, because crystal meth isn't a big drug in the UK. In fact, apparently the only place where it's still, you know, sometimes known as methamphetamine. Very popular in the gay community for chem sex. Yeah, hold on a second, how do I know that? I'm a good Christian, I shouldn't be talking to you about gay sex and what drugs make it better. Wow, I'm a mile outside of my comfort zone now, aren't I? Does your woman need something? Surely she's made her own choices here, hasn't she? You don't know unless you get beside her, unless you talk to her, unless you ask her, what's happening with you? Where are you coming from? How can I help? What does the world say? Who's that? Anybody know? I'm cheating, by the way. Actually, this isn't the world. Dr. James Dobson, publisher of dozens and dozens of great Christian books. I'm sure they're all fabulous, aren't they? And one of his most famous is all about this. Tough love. Yeah? And the world likes this. They like this idea. Let's show people some tough love. Really simple, isn't it? Okay? Your woman with the crystal meth, bit of tough love. That's all she needs. She'll be right as rain with a bit of tough love. Let me tell you a story last week, okay? Was out Saturday night, bumped into Neil and Phil, okay? Got talking to Neil. What's happening with you, Neil? Neil's homeless. He's an alcoholic. His choice. Okay? What's happening with you, Neil? I'm hungry. Why are you hungry? Well, we were in Nando's, or rather, we were around the back of Nando's. This was about just after midnight, about 12:15. Okay? And he said, they used to give us the food at the end of the day that was completely left over, that was condemned, and was going into the bins. Wasn't being sold, there was no cost to this, it wasn't going home with anybody, it was going in the bins. Council came along and said, nope, what Neil needs is a bit of tough love, don't give him it. Do not feed him, because that will just encourage him. Because he's going to think, wow, I didn't get my Nando's today, I'm going to turn my life around, I'm going to fix all of the mental health issues that I've got, my lifetime of dependency on alcoholism, and I am going to be an upright member of society just because I didn't get my Nando's. No, he's not. He's going to be hungry. That's what he's going to be. Flip back a few charts. What are we supposed to do? Oh, feed the hungry. Tough love, I think this is great, by the way. Tough love has its place. Tough love has its place in relationships that you're in with people. Tough love has a reasonable place with your children. You know, whereas if you actually soft love the whole time, then you end up spoiling them. But it's not a thing that works very well with somebody you don't have a close relationship with. It certainly doesn't work with Neil. It doesn't work with Phil. Phil, he was talking to us, he was not a happy bunny, to put it mildly. The reason why he wasn't a happy bunny was, next day was Father's Day, so it may have been last week or the week before. When was Father's Day?
Last week.
So it was last week. Phil's got kids, doesn't see them. He's on the streets, he's an alcoholic. He's got a can of beer in his pocket, and he's drinking again. He's had periods of being sober, doesn't keep it going, so he's drinking again. Phil needs some tough love. So what the council have done? They gave him an antisocial behaviour order to say, you shall not drink. And lo and behold, an alcoholic drinks. And lo and behold, they arrest him, put him into the court. And what happens? He gets a fine. £110 fine. £110 of tough love. That's going to work, isn't it? Absolutely not. It just doesn't. And sadly, you know, it's a complex issue. You know, I'm not making excuses for these people because I don't actually want to make an excuse for somebody I don't know. What I want to do is get beside them, talk to them, find out their story, find out how I can help. You know, to heal the sick. These guys are genuinely sick. But the trouble is, we do this. This is what we do. This is where the difference with the Good Samaritan comes for us today. Okay? So does the story. There was a man on the road to Jericho. He got beaten up. Pharisee came by, the Levite came by, and then the Good Samaritan came by and fixed him up. That story focuses on the Good Samaritan doing something different than the godly people. All three of them are wrong. We should be pointing our finger at the bloke. What the hell was he doing on the road to Jericho? It's all his fault. We do that now all the time. Ever look? Well, maybe you're all good people. Go to your computer, dailymail.co.uk. Second biggest online newspaper in the world. Millions and millions of Americans read it as well. Don't know why they read our newspaper, but they do. Two reasons. Okay, one is they're very big on showbiz stories. But the other reason is they're very big on what most people call the sidebar of shame. It's a list of stories down the side where the Daily Mail does look at this person fallen out of their dress because they've had too much to drink. Look at this person, fallen over drunk. This person got beaten up. But we do this all the time. always trying to say, actually, it's your own fault. If you weren't there. Big, big thing at the moment, knocking around, but you might have sort of seen it in some of the newspapers, you know, and a term that's getting bigger, it's called rape culture. Saying, right, you know, we have a rape culture, okay, and everybody's trying to sort of say, well, we should do something about this. But a lot of rape culture is about, it's your fault. You wore a short dress. You went somewhere you shouldn't have gone by yourself. You had too much to drink, and therefore you became one. The girl on the train that we saw earlier, her fault if somebody went up beside her and started feeling her up? What do you think? Is it her fault?
Partly.
It's difficult, isn't it? You know, that's a really difficult one. Okay? It is. You know, I would turn around and say, it's partly her fault, because she's got herself in a state where she can't look after herself and hasn't arranged to have friends with her or anything else. That's true. Okay? Doesn't give permission for somebody else to go and start feeling her up, robbing her purse, going through her handbag. But she put herself a little bit in that situation. So the question then becomes, well, if it's her fault, should we help? Should we help? Should we say, well, I can actually feel quite comfortable in my bed, under my duvet, in my comfort zone, at 10:30 at night, I've already had my cocoa, tucked my feet up, because I know that anybody who gets in trouble on the streets of Basingstoke tonight, because that's where we go, it's partially their fault. Go back to the works of mercy that we had on the screen a little while ago. To feed the hungry, to help the sick, to comfort everybody. As long as it's not their fault. Doesn't actually say that. But this is important. Because when it comes to the two reasons, like I said, I think most people would be a good Samaritan as long as the cost is not too high. Okay? And the cost is too high when you have to get over your feeling that it's the person's fault, or if it's a danger to you. Actually, I think this Pharisee and the Levite went rushing by because of that one. They were concerned, this is the road to Jericho, there are bandits around, I am going to rush by because it's a danger to me. Whereas the Good Samaritan stopped and put himself, you know, he was vulnerable. He was stopping on a road where there were bandits. He was putting the man on his own donkey and taking him to where he needed to go. He paid his own money, so there was a cost to the Good Samaritan. If you want to be a Good Samaritan, there's going to be a cost. Okay, that's good passes. Because that's, you know, what we're about. Okay? Because when we say everybody would like to be a Good Samaritan, what do you actually do to be one? You know, this is an example. You know, obviously, I'm talking about this because this is what I know. Yeah? But nevertheless, out there, we're changing the world one lollipop at a time. I brought a bag. This is a street passer bag, by the way. Okay? We carry this around with us. And one of the things that's in there is a lollipop. Okay? Not a lollipop.
Thank you.
What you learn, actually, I haven't got enough for everybody. Isn't that terrible? Would you like the sour one? They're the one you're writing.
I don't want sour.
Take a sour one.
Sour one.
Okay. Sour. No, she knows what they're like. Of course they're not sugar-free. Lollipops aren't designed to be sugar-free. Okay? One of the things we learned, what's the purpose of the lollipop?
It's sweetened people.
Yeah. It does. It sweetens people. Okay, we give out 150 to 200 of those every evening to grown adults. Okay, and they come charging up to us. Can I have a lollipop, please? Okay, it's simple. It's different from can I have a mini Mars bar, or can I have a fruit chew? A lollipop, I don't know, it goes back to your childhood. It's a little dose of sugar. It's also a little bit of, I gave you something, now we're talking. It's an incredibly simple thing. I give out, 200 pairs of those a month. Okay, about £1 each. Why do I do that?
They can't walk because of the high shoes.
Well, for heaven's sake. If you are going to go out in high shoes, then you don't deserve it. You deserve to go tumbling off your high shoes. You deserve to walk through the dog mess, the vomit, the broken glass. It's your own fault. Isn't it? Okay? It is. Absolutely your own fault. If you're that stupid, hell slap it into you. Just, you know, you can just suffer the consequences. And lo and behold, I get people come up to me and say, I've got 6 pairs of these at home. Please, bring one out with you. Just bring one out. I've got hand gel, bottles of water. People who can afford to pay £5 for a bottle of Budweiser. 15p these water cost me. Wholesale. And I end up giving them the water because they spent all their money on their things. What am I for?
Broken glass.
Okay. So all over town, we pick up bottles before they become broken, and when they are broken, we sweep them up. What a bunch of idiots. How the hell are we doing that? There are perfectly good street cleaners who are paid money to go and sweep up broken glass. Which, you know, and if the girls would only keep their shoes on, we wouldn't need to worry about it anyway, would we? But actually, we carry on, we do that as well. We sweep up broken glass. Because again, okay, I've patched up people, because I have a first aid kit. Well, there we begin. I've patched up people who've trodden on broken glass. I've stopped a man who picked up a broken glass intending to cut somebody else with it, which would not have been good. We've dealt with 2 people with broken ankles because they've gone tumbling off these big shoes. Okay? But of all the people I give flip-flops to and all the people that I help with various things, I don't know which ones are the ones, okay, that are going to be the ones at the end of the evening picking broken glass out of their feet. So, here we go. I will do all things to all men and women so that by all possible means I might save some. And I might save some from broken glass, broken ankles, or anything else. Sore feet, I might save them from sore feet. And yet, later on, people come back to me and say, you helped me last week, last month, you helped my friend last year. Okay? That stuff is remembered. As are wet wipes. As are little noisy alarms that you can give to women if they insist on walking home by themselves. As are silver blankets. Because if you really want to blame your victims, go out on the streets of Basingstoke at 3 in the morning in December when the wind is coming sideways or the snow's coming down. I'm in a t-shirt because I'm hard. But the girls are in nothing at all. Thin dresses, no coat, no cardigans, nothing. And at that point you're pointing at them and saying, really, put a coat on. No, still not going to blame them. I may think you really should have brought a coat, but they haven't. Let's give them a blanket. But a torch. Why not a torch? Bonus question for why have a torch?
Is it in the way?
No. There you go. I have a torch so I can see the broken glass because it shines in the light. So, and why have bin bags?
Empty bottles.
Nope. Bin bags. Empty bottles go in bins.
Pray.
Hmm? I have bin bags for my large growing collection of vomit. Now I'm very far out of my comfort. But curiously, okay, people would happily be good Samaritans. What they don't like being is fools. And the taxi drivers around all of these towns don't like being fools. You rock up to to pick up all your customers. If one of them is being ill, you do not want them in your taxi. And despite the fact that the licensing conditions say, yes, you have to give people a lift, you have to take people home, that drunk, vulnerable girl, the taxi driver is supposed to take her. He thinks, no way. Because if that young lady vomits in my car goes off the road, I earn no money the rest of the night. So therefore, we end up in a situation where we say, well, okay, how do we get you home? Sometimes, we try not to, it's our car. And if it is, bag. Okay? We've had one or two people who made very good attempts to film. Now, like I say, I'm way out of my comfort zone. And there are street passers who do turn around and say, yeah, I can deal with that, but I just can't deal with vomit. One of the curious things, actually, Stella, and probably many of you, I don't drink alcohol. You know, teetotaler. I can surround myself by people who are drunk. So I'm out of my trunk. So, we have a theme, mercy. Here's a tenuous link to mercy. Okay. Any of the good slides in this presentation, by the way, I did? Any of the ones you're thinking, those are sellers. Okay. It's true. Actually, no, it's a double act. When my younger brother was about four, as far as he was concerned, I, Paul and Stella, her, Paul and Stella. Actually, Stella. We like them together. Okay. Go back. What is the job of a street passer? It's one of the questions that we get asked by drunk people at 3:30 in the morning. Because actually, these days, if you speak to a lot of young people who are in their 20s, they have no experience of Christians. Okay? You guys, you have loads of experience of Christians. You might know a few. Yeah? But you shouldn't be surprised, okay, that there are people who don't know any Christians at all. You know? Their parents weren't Christian, their grandparents weren't Christian, they're not Christian. Or maybe their grandparents are Christian, but their parents aren't. I've never been inside a church. I go to church for a wedding once on a blue moon. It's all a bit alien. I really don't know what's going on. I don't know any of the hymns. In fact, actually, if you go to a wedding where there's a lot of people who are non-Christians, okay, what you should do is get a Mexican wave going. Because, you know, you're up, down, kneel, up, down, kneel. If you just stood up randomly all together, they'd follow. They wouldn't know it was happening. But you think, great, okay, I get to be a street pastor. I've got a lovely bag full of stuff. Okay, I've got a uniform and everything. I'm out on the streets. Somebody comes up to you at 3:30 in the morning and says, what's a street pastor? Now, I could convince lots of good Christians to become street pastors if I said, what a street pastor is somebody gets to go out and preach. You know, if I said, great, go out there, you know, perhaps even with a Bible, and a stance. Actually, you need a stance, don't you? When you're holding your Bible, you want to be holding it like a beaker, don't you? Like this, ready to preach to the heathens, tell them how awful they are. Get a bit of victim blaming going on. If only you didn't drink, you know. If only you weren't an alcoholic, you'd be able to buy that Nando's rather than having to get out of a bin. Trouble is, that's not what street pastors get to do. And the reason why we don't get to do it is you don't have permission. Okay? Permission from the person that you're speaking to. It would be fabulous if you could go up to somebody for the first time and say, do you know Jesus? And they go, no, but I want to. Wow, that was quick. It just doesn't happen like that. In fact, it's estimated that you need to have 30 interactions with somebody to get them to the point where they're going to think, actually, maybe I'm ready. Maybe this is for me. So actually, what you've got to do is you've got to have these interactions with people, okay? And you've got to showcase Jesus. You've got to showcase Christianity. You've got to show people what to work as a Christian means. It starts off with, you gave me a lollipop, because actually, you know, I just need a lollipop. You gave me some flip-flops. You patched me up. You helped me. Every weekend we do the 10 lepers thing. Okay? The most extreme example that we ever had was, and this does not happen. You know, I get a training course in first aid, and they train you in all the CPR stuff, you know, the old mouth-to-mouth stuff. We did mouth-to-mouth on somebody who was not breathing and brought her back. Ambulance turned up, took over. Fine. Actually, that person never came back. Told us what happened. Actually, that happens all the time. You know, we do first aid every weekend. Cuts, bruises, people falling off their shoes. 1 in 10. Actually, it's not a bad ratio for people to come back and say, thank you very much. So therefore, you've got to do the cumulative thing. You can't do it once. You've got to go back and back and back. You gave me a lollipop. You spent 10 minutes talking to me because I was sad. Okay? You helped my friend. You gave me some flip-flops. You gave me some water. I was really, really drunk. And you helped out. Get to 30, then you might have a permission for somebody to say, why do you do this? Why are you good people on the streets at 3:30 in the morning when actually you good people should be in church? That's where you belong, because you're way out of your comfort zone. Us good people are on the streets doing all of this because I will become all things to all men so as to save some. That's why. And that's what street pastors is about. That's what being a good Samaritan today looks like. And some of the things that we do. Okay? From M. We meet people where they are. If you're going to wait for Neil to come to church, it'll be a cold day in hell. Simply. Because he's not going to be there, is he? Sorry. He's never going to turn up in church. He might get zapped by lightning one day and turn up in church. But actually, your odds are better if you go and meet him where he is. Okay? And if you mingle enough, if you're around, if you're present, people will come up and talk to you. I can imagine this is actually probably what it's like to do mission work. You know, when you got put on a boat and you sail across the ocean, and I knew a missionary, you know, learned Portuguese, went to Brazil in the 50s. What happens when you step off a boat in Brazil? You're the only white man in about 3,000 miles, okay, and you've got an accordion. I don't know. That's way outside my experience. But actually, I guess if you mingle enough, if you're present, if you meet people where they are, then eventually, you know, after 30 conversations, somebody say, why are you here? What are you doing? Tell me about this Jesus that made you come. That's what we're doing. The bit I like most, by the way, of that lot is mentoring. Okay? I don't like preaching, evangelizing, that's not my bag. But I love mentoring. I love speaking to young people and saying, you know, where are you? What's with you at the moment? You know, and I'm not a father, an uncle, a teacher, or anything else. You would be astonished what people tell me on the streets. Absolutely astonished. But sometimes with the mentoring bit, it's, I want a new job. What do I do? Well, lo and behold, I know quite a bit about getting jobs. I've interviewed hundreds of people over the years. I know what an office is like, how it works, how to get a job in an office. And some people appreciate that. You know? Actually, I frequently go back and motivate them. So I was speaking to Lewis last week, a young lad I've spoken to for 18 months now. Lewis, what are you doing? Have you got that certificate you were going to get? Yes, I have. Great. He wants to go to Australia just for 6 months. Fine. Let's motivate him along. He's got a dream, just needs a little bit of a... Where's the Christian work in that? Sending a man to Australia. I mean, this is not the 1800s when we sent lots of Australians. And it was a Christian service, you know? These people drunk too much. So
over there. Can I ask a question for you?
Yeah.
You've spoken a lot about talking to people that you've met, Christ, Bill, or whatever it is could be. The people that you've never met, what is the icebreaker?
Lollipop goes a long way.
Okay. So you thrust the lollipop
yes!
in the face.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, because, okay, you wander through the middle of Basingstoke at 3 o'clock in the morning, okay? She's nice. Oh, she's nice. She's not. I could have him. I don't like him. Oh, bloody Christians. What the hell are they doing here? Oh, well, I can talk to him some other time. What are you doing here? So direct questions, particularly people who are very drunk, they're going to come straight up and say, what are you doing? Who are you? Can't walk a joke. You know?
So actually, you can see if they approach you.
Yeah.
Fine.
Well, no. The way in which it works the other way is really simple. Okay? What we have to do is be non-British. Okay? So we've got our rucksacks on. We work in teams, by the way. So we're wandering down the road. Hello. How are you doing? How are you doing? Are you alright? How are you doing? Talking to strangers. Okay? And we do that. We greet everyone. Okay? And bizarrely enough, most of them will say hello back. So actually, people walking down the street aren't, you know, going to... You know, and you're right there thinking, I'm not going to say hello to a 20-year-old bloke who's out on the town drinking, because if I say hello to him, he's going to hit me. No, he's not. He's actually, most of the time, going to say hello back. Okay? And if you carry on, you're there, and I street past some places, I've been there 8 years now, if you're always present, and you're walking past them, and you're saying hello, maybe they don't say hello or stop for the first 3-4 times, but eventually they're going to think, no, I've got to ask, who are you and what are you doing? And then you've got a conversation.
Yeah. I was relating to school pastors, because with school pastors, you're dealing with teenagers who are in a peer group.
Yes.
And it's actually uncool to engage in conversation.
But
you're an older person.
No, but it actually happens. Yeah. You know, people do... When you're there. But you're playing a numbers game, okay? I'm walking past several hundred people of an evening. Hello, 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 how are you? You right? And then obviously over time, people get to know us as a collective group and they know individual pastors. I'm giving out 200 lollipops. Here you go, there's a lollipop. How's your evening? Good. Okay. Some of that. How's your evening? Actually, it's not good. My grandma died. Actually, he's been waiting all evening for somebody to ask him, how is he? Because he's got this thing. I'm out, I'm having a drink, I'm having a great time, but actually, my grandma died. And I want to talk to somebody about it. No, none of my friends have asked me, how am I? But this person is present. They're there. They're open. And we're there for people. Actually, grandma's dying. That's relatively easy. Okay? You can cope with that. Somebody died. Listen. Back on the charts, remember? Acts of mercy, listen to people. Great. Okay? Last week, okay, there we were, wanted to get back. It's 4 o'clock in the morning, we want to get back. Time to go home. Stop and talk to a young man, so there was. What's happening with you? Yeah, I tried to jump off a bridge 2 days ago. Boo! That's a mile outside of comfort zone, isn't it? You know? Not, I'm okay, I'm British, how are you? Not bad, I'm very well. No, I tried to jump off a bridge. What's happening with you, young lady? Everybody's accusing me of getting my boyfriend murdered. So I had two of them last week.
What do I say?
Do not worry what you will say on that day, because the Holy Spirit will give you the words. Yeah? Won't he?
Yes.
Actually, by being there and being present, okay, that works. Comfort, conversation, care for people. But I've jumped ahead to C. Right. E. Just being positive, actually. Encouraging people. Enlivening people, actually. Loads of people on a night out, all right, are pretending to have a good time. So what you do, you go out, you few Dutch courage, I'm having a great time. This is the place to be. Sticky floor, expensive drinks, people I don't really like or know, but I'm having a good time. Actually, the quality of a good time is actually based upon the interactions that you have, isn't it? It's the people that you meet, the people that you talk with. Okay? And that's, again, what we're doing when we're there. We just talk to people, encourage them to open up, encourage them to talk to us. And actually, if they share some of their story, we encourage them in it. We try to get them to do more. This is one of those things that works for people who enjoy people. Element of gift of the gab here, knocking around. You know, you've got a bit of Irish roots in you, and you're quite happy talking to people, and you enjoy people. You want people to be the best person they can be, then it works really well. You know, it's an act of showing mercy to somebody. R. Reconcile. Sadly, one of the things that happens when people have a drink is they get argumentative. And they get argumentative with other people who've had drinks, and fights happen. Okay? Where does the money for street pastors come from? Flip-flops a pound, water 15p, safety blankets about 80 pence. Where does it come from?
Donations.
Comes from donations from churches. Okay, I'm the treasurer of our street pastors group. I haven't had a donation from a church this year. Okay? Why haven't I had a donation from the church this year? Because the church actually know that I don't get the money. I haven't had any donations from the churches in Basingstoke because it's got out that the Police and Crime Commissioner has given us money. Okay? Now, the Police and Crime Commissioner gave us money, okay, because he knows something. He knows that when he looks across Hampshire, because this is the Hampshire Police and Crime Commissioner, he knows that every town that has street pastors, the amount of violence is 40% lower. That's a huge number. That's a huge percentage. It's enormous. And that's without even going to the guy who runs the ambulances and saying to him, what effect does having a street pastor in your town have compared to the towns where you don't have them? Okay? It's a big difference. I mean, we had one a couple of weeks ago. We got called to the top floor, second floor of one of the local pubs. In the toilet upstairs, okay, was a very large girl. Okay? You know, she ate all the pies and all the kebabs as well. She was fairly sizable. Okay? She was on the floor, she was having a slight fit, and she was vomiting over their wall. Okay? So, lovely picture. Well, outside, this is not Mass on Sunday. This is way outside of our comfort zone. Okay, this is this poor girl. Okay, the team of three ladies, because it was the ladies' toilet, went in. We stood by doing practical things. We went and got the wheelchair, actually. Right at that moment, the manager of that bar, conscious of when it was going to close, his view was ambulance. Just call an ambulance here. Okay? Now, it's an experienced thing with us. We looked at her and said, actually, you don't need an ambulance. You know, each ambulance that you call out is several £100 at least. And sometimes, particularly on Saturday nights, you can't get one for an hour and a half because they're genuinely tied up. Okay? He said, ambulance. Let's get an ambulance, straight in. He said, no, give us a bit of time. We'll make that judgment in 15 minutes as we go. Calm the girl down. She was having a panic attack, so we got through the anxiety attack with her. We cleaned her up, got some of this vomit off her. And then eventually we got in a state where we could move her down the stairs and we got her into a car. So the friend that she was with, she was fortunate, she had a friend with her. The friend's mother came and got her. You know, silver blanket, big bag for the vomit, and off she went. Save money. Saves a lot of money, actually. But stopping the fights saves money. Okay, how are the fights stopped? Hello, come on guys,
we're on the top.
How? How does that work? Okay, it works because good Samaritans, good Christian people, get out of their comfort zone and are there at the time. Because if it's door staff, bang heads. Stop that, you two. If it's police, you'd like to think, put them in cuffs and take them away. Sadly, the police just don't. We sometimes wish they would arrest more people than they do, but that's a whole other story. They don't like arresting people. But nevertheless, we go wandering in, guys, seriously? Have a lollipop, what's happening? Well, and then into a conversation, tension goes down, fight doesn't happen. Okay? And to be honest with you, okay, Marianne is as good a fighter of stops, a stopper of fighters, as anybody you'll meet. And the reason is really simple, okay? One, she's very good at it. But two, if you're a young 20-year-old man, okay, and the blood is up, you've got a few beers in you, okay, and this chap here has dissed you, that's enough. He doesn't have to have killed members of your family, stolen your prize goat, he's just dissed you. Now you've got to stand up for your honour. Because if you back down, well, that's it, you're not a man. And the other guy, he's the same. They're both there. They're ready to go. Gonna have him. In goes Marianne.
And boys, don't do this.
They both get to calm down a little bit. They both step away. And they both say, well, I could have had him. But the street pastor asked me not to. And I'm not going to do it. So we've given them a way out. You've allowed the person to retire with a little bit of grace. Yeah? And that's how 40% fewer acts of violence happen in towns and street buses. All of this is really simple. But it only works if you're present. You've got to respect people. Just in case you didn't get it. You've got to respect people. The moment you're into victim blaming, okay, you've lost. All of these people, including Neil and Phil and others besides, God's people, God's children. Yeah? They are, all of them. You know? And actually, they've got something for us. Something to tell us, something that we can receive from them. Because the more you get outside of your comfort zone, the bigger it gets. The more competent, capable you are in order to do other things. Comfort people, conversations, care, convert, nah. 30 interactions. Yeah, we've got some people that, you know, are coming back to church. You know, or want to come to church. It can be done. But that one is not there, it's over here on the list.
Do you have any churches in Basingstoke that are open all night?
No.
They do in Reading now.
Right.
Women's
Church. Mm. Yeah. Reading's got a couple of advances on this. It's got a bigger population. Okay. It's got a bigger number of clubs. Got more street pastors. It's got a first aid bus where you can go and, you know, sort of like a, you know, again, stops people going in A&E. But it's also got a few more challenges.
They haven't got is a rail pastor.
Stum.
Stum.
It's coming next.
Ahead of us. Yeah. Behave.
4 million people through the station.
Yeah.
Challenge. Okay? You would be astonished. A few weeks ago, we had a community first responder came out with us. Okay? This is one of these people that's got a high level of first aid training. Has a first aid kit to die for. I just look at his first aid kit and get first aid kit envy. I think, I wish I had that first aid kit. It's great. Love that. And he came out with us. He said, I'm coming into Basingstoke to see what Basingstoke needed on a Saturday night. I got talking to the doorman, and they said, you must go out with the street pastors. So he kept, followed us around for a while, okay, and his eyes were opened. He thought, wow, what a job you guys are doing, and whatever. But one of the things he was fascinated by was the amount of challenge we present. You find Alistair, he's lying on the floor, speaking in tongues, you think, but no, that's actually he's had a few too many eggs. Okay? And you, Alistair, what have you had to do tonight? Yeah. Okay. That's a very personal question, isn't it? You don't ask a man when he's had a drink. Alistair, other than drink, have you had any drugs tonight? At that point, you're thinking, you're going to get a slap, aren't you? I've never had a slap. Not for asking somebody direct questions, because I'm in care mode. Looking after you. How are you? I want to look after you. I want to make sure you're safe, because you're in a vulnerable position. I'm going to get home safely. But first aid stroke care mode is, what have you had to drink? When did you last stop drinking? Have you had any drugs? Are you on medication? And all sorts of questions. This guy's absolutely flabbergasted that we're asking people what drugs they've had. And when they start giving you the answers, then you're in a different zone altogether. One of the things we do in Street Pastors, by the way, is an awful lot of training. So combined with experience, you get to know. If somebody turns around and says, well, I've had a K-line, you know exactly what that is and what it does. If they've had it, not good. Not good. Anybody know what a line of K is? Ketamine. It's a horse tranquilizer. Okay? It is nasty stuff. One of the main reasons why it's nasty is that you shouldn't mix it with alcohol. That's going to work then, isn't it? Somebody who's had a lot of drink, got really good judgment, thinks, I'm going to do some drugs. Oh, let's not choose the one that doesn't mix with the alcohol I've just had. No. And then finally, why? Youth. Young people are just that. Young people. They're like old people, just young. Sorry. They have the same confusions, thoughts, concerns, dreams, aspirations, all of those things. And you only get to know what they are if you ask them, if you talk to them. But bizarrely enough, they do talk. We're now into the second generation. Because we've been doing it for a while, we've got the ones that came in that were 18 and 19 and now 21, 22. I'm really grown up, I'm 22. They're moving on. Now it's their younger brothers coming through, meeting them for the first time. Yorps, meet quite a few of those. Once in a while, we do need to stand back. You know, we pray, we have protection of the good Lord over us. We have never been assaulted in Basingstoke in 8 years. Thank God. Look at the situations we've put ourselves in. 3-4 weeks ago, there were four groups of four people fighting each other, with about a dozen door staff trying to help them in, and then 12 policemen turned up, and the fight was still going on. We were in the middle of that, not one of us got harmed. So there are yobs. Occasionally we know when we have to step back. And we talked quite a lot about yuck, didn't we? Vomit. Greasy kebabs littering the streets at 3 a.m. Ooh, it's not clean and tidy. It's not something I would do, but if I want to be present for all people so that by all means I might save some, I've got to suck it up. So, what should you be doing? What now? This is just one thing. This is my thing, may not be your thing. But what I would say, if you want to be a good Samaritan, walk down more roads. Okay? If the good Samaritan decided, actually, you know what, stay in Jerusalem tonight. Okay? He wouldn't have been on the road to Jericho, he wouldn't have got to be in the story. If you want to actually do stuff, then you've got to walk down more roads. You've got to go more places. You've got to be places that you're not familiar. Don't you? You've got to walk down more roads. You've got to open your eyes, actually. There's a lot of stuff, you see it occasionally in the newspapers, on Facebook and shared, people where they do these things where they say, look what we did. we put this lost child in the middle of the shopping centre, and she was there for an hour, and only two people asked her if she was okay. Yeah? Look at all these people that walked straight past this two-year-old girl and left her there. Nobody asked her if she was okay. I can spot a homeless person at 500 paces now. Yeah? A certain look to them. It's not, oh, I'm in a doorway with a sign saying, homeless and hungry. I can just spot them. And when I do, we go and talk to them. How are you? What can I get you? Can I get you a hot drink? Are you hungry? And actually, you know what they appreciate most of all? Money. Yes, they appreciate money. Never give them money. The other thing I give them is time. Because actually, nobody may have had one civil conversation with that person all day. How much time have you got in your hands? I've got 10 minutes. I've talked to you. But open your eyes, you'll see these people, and you get to talk to them, get their story, find out a little bit about them. Pray for yourself. How about, okay, next time you're in London, okay, it's a bit outside of your normal places where you go, before you get out of your car, say, Dear Lord, send me somewhere. I'm doing something different today, use me today. Because I'm walking down the Jericho Road today, rather than Farnham High Street. What would happen? Oh, that's not a prayer I'm going to say. You might answer. Pray for the teams out tonight, by the way. There are 270 street pastor teams in this country. They are everywhere. Winchester, Southampton, Andover, Basingstoke,
Aldershot.
Only
one day a week.
Yeah.
Because
I haven't got the people.
Are they Guildford?
Yeah, well, they're Street Angels, but they're a fairly similar group of people.
Glastonbury.
Reading Festival, get a load. Just pray for them. Say, Lord, let's cover them with prayer. Whatever they're dealing with, help them. Give them the words to say, give them the wisdom to know what to do, give them the wisdom to step back if they need to step back. Come and observe. This is this moment. Okay? Because actually, people come and observe and they think, wow, this is nothing like I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be dangerous. You know, the first time Basingstoke street pastors went out, almost 8 years ago, what happened? They went out in the town, there they were all dressed up, had a police escort. After about an hour, the police thought, what are we doing here? Let them live. So many times, actually, sadly, we're the ones in the street, and the police are nowhere to be seen. And yet, we're still safe. We're still handing out lollipops. If you really want to, you could be a modern day Good Samaritan. Come and join. A little bit more information. I'm not expecting you to write these down or do anything with this. This is a 10 second Google, by the way. Go in there, go YouTube, go into Google and go Street Pastors Video. One of them will pop up. Might well be Basingstoke street pastors. BBC South Today have been out with almost all of the street pastor groups over the last few years because it's great TV. You get lots of young people running around going, ah, this makes great TV. You get people falling over and street pastors doing good things. Basingstoke street pastors? Basingstoke street pastors, yeah. The national group covers the whole country. That's the umbrella organisation. They own the logos, provide all the training, and provide all this. John was desperately trying to spoil my thunder. School pastors, because of the success of street pastors, they've actually said, can you come and do this outside schools? We've got teachers doing their teacher thing. Some schools have a bit of security, but have we got some street pastors that can come and do schools? And now, in some locations, they have school pastors. It's obviously a fairly limited group of people that are able to be there at about 3-ish in the afternoon. But schools lap it up. They're always begging churches to come and do assemblies these days because they want to tick that box. But this is a job that actually has a use. You know, because you're present and again, you're just talking, mentoring, encouraging. It's a different job, works for some people. And we're talking rail pastors. This one, wow. This is a mile outside my comfort zone. I couldn't do that. On the fast line between Reading and London, There are a number of stations where the trains just go straight through at high speed. One or two of those stations, people go to and jump off in front of the trains, because the trains are just... So what they've got on some of those stations, and they don't, it's not 24/7, it's manned at certain times, at the peak times, is they've got rail passers. Those people go and stand on platforms, and they see the telltale signs of somebody who doesn't look like they're catching a train, but is thinking about, and they go and befriend them, talk to them, help them, and be present. Wow, I couldn't do that. Because that's how I'm going. Actually, I haven't tested my comfort zone on that one, have I? I'm quite happy with what I'm doing, and I'm not available. But nevertheless, maybe that's... You've got a kindly face, a listening ear. Yeah. There's more information. But all of this, just to sort of bring it back, what was my joke? What was my Bible verse, please?
Corinthians
9.
1 Corinthians?
1 Corinthians 9.
What verse?
22.
Okay. To the weak I have become weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all means possible I might save some. If you want to be a modern-day Good Samaritan, you've got to lose the victim blaming. It's not their fault. They're in that situation. Help them now. And you've got to put yourself out there. Any questions?
When did it start? Who started it?
Chap was started by a chap called Reverend Isaacs. Started actually more in the black community, and it was also a sort of an anti-gun measure. So they were really up against it. They had young marauding groups, gangs, carrying guns. And the churches put themselves out there, you know, and stopped that. And then it grew. It's evolved. Certain things have been learned. But now the number of years have been going. Strong branding, particular colour. Always wear a hat, believe it or not. All of the stuff in the bag, flip-flops, lollipops, and all of that. But it works.
Do you get all sorts of ages volunteering, or is it sort of a certain age group?
No. It's all age groups.
Like retired people. Would some retired people...
Oh, no. Retired people are particularly helpful.
Because they mean they've got
age. Well, no. You see, the thing about it is it's always in teens. Okay? Most of the street pastors are probably 40 upwards. We'd like to have younger ones, and we've got a few, but most of them sort of 40 upwards. Okay, there's a slight physicality about it that ends up being a little bit of a problem eventually, because you know some of the teams cover big distances at night because we wander around quite a lot. But we can make that work. But actually, some of our most effective street pastors look like Marianne. They do, because a young man. It's serious. A young man doesn't feel threatened. Marianne's had quite a lot of proposals for marriage, I must say, since she's been doing this. You know.
Did you make clubs as well?
Yes, had a few of those. But nevertheless, a young man is not going to hit his granny. And so when somebody who, you know, is his granny's age, and Marianne isn't yet his granny's age, but when somebody, you know, says, please stop, I think, well, you know, would my granny ask me to stop, would I stop fighting? Of course I would. If my granny sat beside me and said, what's up with you, can I help, here's a tissue. Yeah, I talked to her. So actually, yeah, we have quite a lot of age ranges. We have male-female teams, they're always mixed, and you know we need both, because the females that are vulnerable would have a female helping them, a male would have a male, and we mix it up. But actually, yes, it's a broad range. One of the other things that Reverend Isaacs did, though, he insisted that any place that wanted to set up street pastors provided a minimum of 4 churches that were committed to doing it. In Basingstoke, there are 20 churches in it. And that's because it's important that it's not seen as, here come the Baptists, or whatever it happens to be. You know, so by mixing... And one of the side benefits of this is a great knowledge of the other churches in Basingstoke, and who these people are. You know, there's a lot of house churches in there. That, I mean, to be fair, I'm going to say they're better than we are. You know, they're more committed to it. You know, I stood up in our church and said, look, we need a few more volunteers. How about it? Big St. Bede's church, lots of people there. Didn't get any other than people that know us and have come again through us. So we're getting a few because they know us, but none came from the pulpit. They went to Disciples of Christ or something, one of those sort of churches I've never heard of, and they got nine. But nevertheless, broadly, it's a real good mixing way across churches. Works really well. I'm conscious of time as well.
Why the hat?
Why the hat? Really simple. Okay? We are covered in Basingstoke, 160 cameras cover the town. That much CCTV, 24/7. We have a walkie-talkie and an earpiece. And we ring them up and say, can you look at us? Can you watch what we're doing now? Because there's trouble or there's a fight. Or they call us and say, look, we've seen a drunken girl fallen over in the doorway. Can you go and see her? Yes, we'll go and see her. That's what we get called to do. The doorstop ask us, the CCTV ask us, the police are great. I went stumbling down outside Timpson's, four policemen standing in a semicircle. I thought, what's this? Got there, they parted like the Red Sea. Lo and behold, this young 18-year-old lad had vomited from his chin to his knees. They weren't touching him. He don't. But the hat is because when CCTV are looking at us, they can pretty much say, there's a street pass, there's the three of them in hats. It also stops us looking like security a bit. Mm. Securities that often wear reflective jackets, but they don't have these hats with street passes on.
Sounds like you need an aerosol.
Yeah, need something.
How many are you
We go out in teams of three, always a team of three. We try, if we can, to get two teams of three covering Basingstoke. And we also, this picture here, is a safe hub, which is a place, part of URC in Basingstoke. We take them back there, and we've got a couple of street pastors who look after people who are very incapacitated. You know, so rather than tying, or the homeless, or if somebody's cold, wants a drink, just wants a chat, they go here, and they don't tie up the street team, but they go there and look after it. So a good evening, we would have two teams of three plus two and up.
But what do you do when you get there? Do you then say, okay, now you've had your cup of hot chocolate,
bye-bye? No, you do the old Good Samaritan thing, which is you pour oil on their wounds,
yes.
You look after them, and you look after them till you can get them home safely.
What if they don't have a home?
That's when it sucks. That's when it really sucks. Because actually, you're going to get situations where somebody doesn't have a home.
What do you do then?
You do what you can. You know, you can't get in a situation where you say, I'm not going to do anything,
no,
because I can't, you know. But, yeah, I mean...
Is there some way you can take them to?
No, there isn't. Not in Basingstoke. This is one of the problems, actually. If you wanted to get angry about something, you should get angry about the disappearance of shelters. Okay? And disappearance of places... emergency care, because it actually is really, really difficult now. We have a homeless place in Basingstoke called May Place. It's full. It's got a waiting list. Okay, they have a lovely little protocol, the cold weather protocol. It's great. If it is below freezing for three nights in a row, as long as you've booked in before 10 o'clock at May Place, we will give you a sleeping bag in Mary Rose Court when it goes dark. Great, I'm a bit drunk and I can't remember all of that. I'll sleep in this doorway. And that's actually what happens. But what you don't have is a place where you can say, here's a drunk person, you know, oh, I'm homeless. Okay, sober you up, put you in a hostel. They don't exist. So we do the best we can.
So you have them, let's say, from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the morning.
To 4 o'clock in the morning, and then they have to leave, because we don't have anywhere for them.
Yeah, and then, so you pack up, and you say, I'm so sorry.
I am so sorry. Yeah, and we get challenged. Quite rightly, one or two homeless people say, yeah, you're great. Get us to 4 o'clock, now what?
Is there no sanctuary church?
Nope.
Might be Karen?
But if you'd like to set one up for me, I'd have loved you a long time. No, I mean, it's... Yeah, I mean, Festival Place will open up at 5 o'clock. You end up looking and saying, look, there's a 24-hour McDonald's up at Leisure Centre. Go up there, at least you can sit inside. But yeah, you end up being not feeling like you're part of a civilised community.
Yeah.
And that's where you end up. That feeling does suck.
Yeah.
I don't like that one. But that's where we end up on the road sometimes.
And tents as well.
Yeah, I mean, in the back of my car, I've got a tent, sleeping bag, roll mats, and everything. Because if I go and sit down and talk to somebody, and he says, I'm homeless, would you like a tent? I'd love a tent.
Oh, right.
I'd love a sleeping bag. A proper sleeping bag, not a festival sleeping bag. Back to Tough Love, Camaro Centre in Basingstoke got told off because they went to Reading Festival last year. When everybody left the festival, they left tents behind. They wrapped them all up, took them back to Camaros. Any of the homeless people, they gave them to. The council said, don't. You'll only encourage them. But let's show them some tough love. Let them sleep out in the open and they'll get their life together and won't sleep out in the open anymore. No, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we have to do what we can. We fall short. We really fall short. We'd love to have somewhere where people could go.
Good. Well done. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
We are going to pass the love bag around. Part of that collection will go to our speaker to use as he sees fit, so he knows where it's going to be most effective. Maybe it's another 10 to 5, I don't know. But are you going to play something when we pass the love bag around? Or are we going to touch on
here? We've already set up the main picture.
Okay. If anybody wants some prayer afterwards for healing, then just come and speak to one of us. We're more than happy to pray with you. But
I think I've got the love bag on the side of that chair.
There you go. That's what it was doing.